for us. Luke chapter number 14 is where we're going to start off tonight. Luke chapter number 14. More than likely, usually we do some type of series during the summertime. So that's what we're praying for and working towards, and starting one on a Sunday, and also starting one for Wednesday nights. And that we're waiting for the classes to get over so that way everybody can be a part of it. Be gone a couple weeks this summer with the teenagers on a couple different trips, and also got Kids Crusade in there, all those different things. So if you're praying, it's really a busy, busy summer, and it always is, but we're trying to serve the Lord and do what's right and trying to help encourage and build up our young people, but also build up our church family at the same time. So I'm looking forward to what God can do. Tonight, we're going to look at a title that we're going to get to the passage here in a little while. There's two main passages. The beginning one is just kind of an introduction, kind of a jumping off point. And the thought tonight is consider in thine heart. Consider in thine heart is the title of the message. And sometimes people struggle with learning. You ever met somebody, and I'm not talking about being slow. I'm talking about learning how to obey. You ever had a child that is a little bit harder to get what you're trying to say, and you know that they understand, but they try to push all the limits, and they try to do everything they can. And sometimes I think when it comes in our Christian lives, we're kind of slow of learning. And I've seen a passage tonight, and as I was reading and studying towards this passage, there was another passage. That's going to mainly be in that Deuteronomy chapter number 8. But the Lord brought to my mind this idea of disciple. I hear the word disciple. Many people have a lot of different thoughts that come to mind. When you use the word disciple, probably most people start off by saying, you know, Peter, James, John, all those different guys. And I get that why they say that, because they talk about his disciples. But in many of the spots in the Bible talks about, they use the word disciple and people think follower. And that is a part of it, but it's not all of it. The word disciple, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, specifically in this passage of Scripture, talks about a learner, someone that is a pupil. And the only way you're going to learn is obviously when you're following after somebody, and you witness what they do, and you learn from it. And lots of times we've seen people that you watch somebody, and sometimes we learn from it. Sometimes we learn what not to do. Sometimes we learn what to do. And sometimes we just like to sit back and just wonder why they did something or be critical of it. And the nation of Israel was someone who seemed like it took a long time for them to learn things. You saw them go into bondage, saw them come out of bondage, saw them taken out of slavery, saw them complain, and for 40 years they were out in the wilderness. And so tonight, I'd like for us to consider in our heart, you say, what do you want us to consider in our heart? The first thing I want you to consider in your heart is, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Am I a learner of his? Now, I truly, honestly believe that a person who is saved on their way to heaven, God puts a desire in their heart to want to learn of him and learn more about him. But I do think at other times we can get our eyes off of that, and our desire for learning him is quenched, like we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. We can grieve the heart of God. And here, Jesus says some things that when we read this passage of Scripture, if it was not found in the Bible, it's not the way we would describe it. Because when we read this passage of Scripture, it says, ye cannot be my disciple. And most people think, well, doesn't Jesus want followers? I mean, isn't that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he taught his other disciples, and he preaches about denying ourselves, coming after, take up your cross, walking after him. But he looks at this crowd, and there's a great multitude. And if you look here in Luke chapter number 14, and it says in verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. So there was a large crowd that was following after him. And he saw the crowd, and he knows what's in the crowd's hearts. And he knows there's a message that needs you to hear. And he says to them, ye cannot be my disciple. So then we begin saying, well, what does the word disciple mean? Because we would think Jesus wants everyone to be a follower. And what we believe is the Bible is saying that he died for the whole world, so he wants all men to come to repentance, because the Bible says that. So obviously, if he wants to see people saved, he wants people to follow after him, then why can he only say that only certain people are going to be a disciple of his? Why is it that he's telling us, hey, I'm good if you follow after me, but to really, truly be a disciple, this is what you got to do. So what's the difference? What's the connection? And once again, obviously, he's calling all men to himself. He obviously is desiring that people would sacrifice, present their body a living sacrifice. Over and over in Scripture, it is, I will make you fisher of men. It's all about following after him. But why can't we be his disciple unless we do something? And here's the thing. The only way you're going to learn of him is when you do these things. Now, you can be saved for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But he's saying, if you really, truly want me to learn, you want to learn the things that I want to teach you, these are some things. And we've sat here in church, we've been around people that have been saved for many years, and it seems like they struggle with the same issue over and over. That's me sometimes. There's certain things in my life that I like to be better at, and there's certain things I know, man, I did it again. And I get frustrated with myself, and I try to keep short accounts with God, and I go to him, I confess my faults, I confess my sin before him, and he's faithful, he's just, he forgives me. But he says there's qualifications if we truly want to be a disciple of his. And it's we really want to learn what he's trying to show us and teach us. Because we can all dress the right way, we can line up in the right way, we can sit in churches like ours and what we consider good churches, and we can do all the right things, and people will say, hey, there's a follower of Christ, there's a Christian, there's a believer, but consider in your heart, am I a disciple? Am I learning the things that he wants me to learn to help me grow to become more like him? Or am I in the same spot I was last year, or the year before, or last week, or 2 weeks? Because in the purest sense, this word disciple means a learner that is a pupil. And look what it says in 14 verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I remember the first time I preached that message, preached about that verse, I made the comment. So I can understand somebody hating their brother, but not their mom, their dad, their wife. My brother watched that and watched me preach, and he says, what do you mean you hate me? I said, I don't hate you. But he's, I can understand why somebody might not get along with. But he says here, he's saying, if you don't hate your father, mother, wife, and children, brother and sisters, and your own life awful, he cannot be my disciple. So in the equation there, if a disciple is a learner of Christ, it's saying that I'm not going to learn the things that Christ wants me unless I have my affections in the right spot. And obviously, if you look in Scripture and you consider that and consider the passage here, what it's saying is that my love for God is so great, it's going to look like I hate my mom, I hate my dad, I hate my brother, and I hate my sisters, I hate my own life because I'm so focused on him. It's the idea there that it seems like because I love something so much means I don't really care about that other person, or it might even seem like I hate them. And we've all been around people, and we have such affection and so close to certain people, and we become really good friends with somebody that another group might feel left out, another group might feel like, hey, they don't even like me. And that's not the case at all. I like them, but I know those people, and I love those people so much that I'm going to want to spend more time with them. I want to spend time with my wife. I love my wife, but I'm not going to give somebody else the same attention I would give to my wife because my love for her is greater. And what they're saying here in the passage of Scripture, if you really want to learn the things that God wants to show you in your life, if you really want to be a disciple, because it's not me that says it, because we wouldn't write it that way. He says, he cannot be my disciple. You're not going to learn of Christ unless your affections are set on him in such a way that he is your everything. And compared to him, it looks as if you don't even care about the other things. Do you care about it? Of course you do, because the Scripture tells us to. But he's saying here, if you want to learn of me, this is what you got to do. He said, wow, that's kind of maybe messed up there. Maybe it doesn't say the right thing. Look at the next verse. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we have it here, following after Christ, because the only way we're going to learn of him is when we follow him and we keep our eyes on him and we're in his word. That's how we follow him today, obviously. But it's saying that in another passage of Scripture that they deny themselves, they take up their cross and they follow after me. Here it's saying they bear their cross and they follow after me. So let me try to put it this way. If the equation is that a disciple is someone who is learning from God and learning from Christ, is a pupil, and is growing in their faith, he's saying the only way you're going to ever do that is if you learn to, first of all, say no to your flesh, take up what God's will is for your life, talking about bearing his cross, whatever place God has put you at, bear his cross, and we follow after Christ, that is when we're going to learn of him. Many times we don't want to deny our flesh. Many times we want to live the way we want to. We want to have what we want. And we say, why isn't God teaching me anything? Why am I growing in my Christian life? Why am I not experiencing the same things that everybody else experiences? Why am I not seeing fruit for my labor? Why is all these different things? I feel like I struggle with the same things I struggled with last year and I struggled with years ago. I struggle with the same things. I wish God would teach me how to have joy. I wish God would teach me how to have peace. I wish God would teach me how to have victory over the sin. And he's saying, you're not going to learn unless you're willing to say no to your flesh and accept where God's put you and follow after where he's trying to take you. That's when you're going to learn about me. That's when you're going to have an understanding of what I'm trying to teach you. But we sit in churches so much and for so long, and we sit there and we sit there, and we want to grow. I mean, obviously, we're here on a Wednesday night. I mean, how many people is going to give up Wednesday night? At least they don't have some interest in the Bible and the Word of God. I mean, maybe it's because you wanted to bring your kids here. Maybe it's because you have nothing else to do with your life and you want to come and sit and listen to somebody speak for an hour. I know that's not the case. I know you're here because you want to grow. So what does it mean? How do I grow? How do I learn? And he tells us right here, because most people would say that word disciple means follower. So that means that I can't be a follower of Christ unless I am willing to do these things. Judas followed after him for that time. He's looking at this crowd, this large crowd, and he's saying to them, you may look like you're a disciple, but you're not learning anything unless you're willing to do these things. Unless you have the right affection, it's going to be something that you feel like you're hitting your head against the wall and you're not learning the things that you know you want to learn and the desires that you have and your growth that you have. It's like the nation of Israel. It seemed like they kept on in that cycle throughout the book of Judges over and over. They didn't learn anything. And he's saying to this group, everybody say, well, Jesus had a large following. Boy, he'd be happy with that. But you know, as many times when he had large masses of people following him, he would say something that was truth, and many of them would turn away. Why is that? Because they weren't a disciple. They did not want to learn what Christ had to teach them. They wanted to just be a follower as long as it was convenient for them. And if we want to be what's called a disciple, we're going to learn some things. Look what it says in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's like, Pastor, I don't know, that's asking a lot. Having such a love for God, it looks like I don't care about my family. For denying myself, taking up my cross, following after Christ, being willing to forsake all that I have. Here's the point is, he doesn't ask us always to do that. Oftentimes he doesn't. But if we're ever going to learn what he wants us to know, we have to be willing to do those things. So I want understanding. Like our theme talks about, I want to know and understand the will of God. I want to know how to raise my kids. I want to know how to love my wife. I want to know how to submit to my husband. I want to learn how to be the best church member. I want to learn how to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to know all those things. How are you going to learn that? And it's saying here, you're not going to learn what God has for you unless you're willing to do these things. Even other parts of the New Testament, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And so with that thought, and that's John 8:31, it's saying, if you will learn the word of God I've taught you already, if you continue in that word, then you will be my disciples. But if you don't continue in his word, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to learn the things God wants to teach you. And the same thing when we go and we, and you're going to see the connection here, when we try to teach your kids something or you try to work with somebody and it's like they don't learn, and even though you keep on telling them the same thing and it seems like it goes in one ear and goes out the other, it's the idea that's found, Have you learned the things he's tried to teach you already? Because I know in my own life, there are certain things I did not want to learn, but I said, okay, Lord, I see what you're trying to teach me, but I don't want to learn that. Let me kill forward. Let me learn more. Just leave that alone. Keep on learning forward. And he says to this group of Jews that believed on it, if you continue in my word, which means if you've learned the things that I've already taught you and you continue living in those words, then you'll be my disciples. But you're never going to learn of me those things that you need to learn unless you're willing to continue in my word. Then in John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. It's you learn to bear fruit. And when you bear fruit, God's going to be glorified. That's when you're really a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's because you have learned of him. And because you learned of him, it bears fruit. But how many of us are really bearing fruit? And I understand. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those different things. That's fruit. But it does also include bearing fruit and seeing people saved. And so how do you do that? How do you say that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I a fan or am I a follower? Better yet, am I a follower or am I a disciple? Am I learning as I follow after him? Because I know it said, I think it was John, in the night that Christ was betrayed, he followed him afar off. And I think a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But am I learning the things that God wants me to learn? Because he says right here, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be not, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. He says it three different times in the same passage of Scripture. And what is he talking about there? He's not saying you can't follow after him. He's saying you're not going to learn anything unless you're willing to do those things. And to me, that kind of spoke to my heart, and I was like, man, I want to learn. I want to grow. I have a desire that the Word of God take hold of my life and I learn of him. And this helped me understand, hey, if I'm not learning, there's something I'm not doing. And here's a good test to look at and say, what am I learning? Because if I'm not learning anything, then truly, in the simplest term of the word, I'm not really a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 now. Hopefully that made sense. Even in Matthew chapter 11, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and he says, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We can learn of him. That is what a disciple truly is. Here in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, this is the message that is given to the children of Israel after they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They're standing on the side of Jordan, getting ready to head over to the promised land. Moses is giving this message, and Moses gives this message, and it's a wonderful message, and there's a thought in here that I want you to grab a hold of tonight, and I pray it helps you about the discipling and learning and considering in your heart. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to just kind of walk through the whole passage. It's a great chapter. We're not going to take a long time to develop it all, but we are going to just kind of walk through the passage of Scripture because it's kind of self-explanatory, and there's some important things. First thing I want you to think about when we're talking about considering thy heart, consider if you're a disciple. The second thing is consider the past. He's there. Nation of Israel now is getting ready to enter into Promised Land. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. He says, look, it's time. You need to obey God and so you can possess the land. Verse number 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now look at that phrase, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And you sit there and he says, I want you to consider the past. And he says, the reason why you were led in this wilderness for these 40 years was a purpose, is to humble us. Boy, you're thinking, man, for 40 years you had to test us? It's what they needed. Even now as they get ready to approach the Jericho and they go over the, they're still complaining. They probably needed some more testing, but this is what God, they're there. God's testing them. They needed it. And sometimes we don't like testings, and sometimes we don't like heartache, and we don't like problems, but we need to be humbled. And that's what he says, to humble thee and to prove thee and see what it says and to know what was in thine heart. Sometimes we are so high and we are so mighty and we think, boy, I'm good. I don't need anything. I don't need a change. We're like that Laodicean church. I am in need of nothing. And God says, you're naked. You don't even see it. You need so much. And that's what he's saying to him. It was to humble thee and to know what's in your heart. Because many times our heart is deceitful. We don't feel like we have any problems, but there's something that's missing. And we never learn it from him because we're not a disciple. It's because we haven't learned those things. We haven't learned to deny yourself. We haven't learned to have the right affections. We haven't learned to take up our cross and follow after him. And he says, this is something you need to learn. Look what it says in verse number 3. And he says, and he humbled thee. And then he puts it in this perspective. At the end of verse number 2, whether they would keep his commandments or no. You go back in the story, there's more than once they said, we'll keep your commandments. They sat there outside of the Mount Sinai when Moses went up there. And before that, when they saw all that happen, there says, look, Moses, that's good. Whatever God says, we'll do. And then what, 40 days later, they're out there dancing around, half naked, bowing down at a calf. They needed this. And here, it's what's in thine heart, whether or not you're going to keep the commandments or not. And he says, and he humbled them. Look at this. And suffer thee to hunger. And fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the principle is, he did this to humble you, and one of the ways he humbled you was showing you, go get your food. You can't get your food. Now, is there a more humbling experience than a father that cannot provide even bread for their children? I mean, that would be humbling to me. We've been in tight times before, and sometimes we had to eat things that we really didn't enjoy. Sometimes I was stuck eating green vegetables. I mean, I don't really enjoy those. But at the same time, there are times when things were a little bit tight, and we've probably all been there before. But he's saying one of the ways he humbled them is showed them, hey, look, it's not about you providing the bread. Man does not live by bread alone, or only, he says here, does not live by bread only. He's teaching them. He's humbling them. He's getting them to a point. Why is that? Because they never learned. And that's what the disciple of Jesus Christ is, someone who learns of him. And so many times God brings this in our life or allows this in our life because he wants us to learn something. And he's humbling them, and he's saying to them, look, I provided manna for you. You could not provide for yourself, and I provided this for you. Be dependent upon me. Look what it says in verse number 4. It says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell for these 40 years. What it's saying is that you had the same clothes for 40 years. Wouldn't that be great, ladies? You didn't need, right? A lot of these ladies have lots of things they liked, and they dress nice and they look nice. And they talk about their feet not swelling for 40 years. It means that they had the same shoes. Could you imagine having to wear just one or two pairs of shoes for 40 years? How about it, Miss Kathy? You couldn't do it, could you? And so that's what he's saying here. It's a humbling experience. Humbling. But did they learn? And what do we learn from the story? They didn't. It's because they weren't truly disciples. And I know what you're saying. Disciple is a New Testament term, and this is an Old Testament, but it's the same thought there. Are we learning what God is trying to teach us? Look what it says in verse number 5. This is the verse that kind of stuck out to me. It says, and this is the second thing, not only consider your past, consider chastening. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And I thought about that because it says right there, consider in your heart or thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. And a lot of things came to my mind and my heart. Hebrews, it talks about, and we might go there in a second, Hebrews chapter number 12, but why do we chasten our children? It's because of the fact we want them to turn out right. At least it's the purest form of it. Why do I correct them? Why do I chasten them? It's because I want them to turn out right. Sometimes we don't always know how to do that. But I began thinking the difference between man's chastening and God's chastening. First thing that came to my mind was God knows everything we do. But how many of us know that we, as children, sometimes our parents never knew what we did? As our boys are a little bit older now, every once in a while they tell a story or something like that. Yeah, you might have never known this, Dad, but we did this when we were kids or teenagers. And they forget, we can still punish them today, but that's something different. But they say this, and they say, yeah, you never knew this, but, and there's not a lot of stories like that, and it usually wasn't something that was so horrendous. But at the same time, they says, no, you didn't. If we knew everything our child did, boy, they probably get punished quite a bit. If we knew what was in their heart and what they were thinking, you know, sometimes when your child just wants to say something, and you can see it on their face, they want to sass you, but they know better because they want to go do something tomorrow, or they want to be able to walk tomorrow, and you know what's in their heart, and you know what's in their mind, and you know they're angry. I'm fine. We hear that. God knows what's in our heart. God knows what's in our mind, and he can chasten us based off of what we really are. Sometimes we mess up as parents. I mean, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes I had to go back and say sorry to my sons for the way I reacted. I had to say sorry to my wife for the way I treated her at times. But God knows it all. And just like a father will chasten his child, God is going to chasten you. Now, let's go back, take a couple steps back. If you have a child that is hard to learn, you know, that one that is the misbehaving one, that one, it seems like you just kind of got to sit on all the time and you don't want them out of your sight, and you know that they're, if they get some freedom, they're just going to go do something that is wrong. And so what do you do with them? You work with them. You correct them. You try to help them. Why is that? You don't want them to grow up like that. You don't want them to live like that. And so if they're not learning, does that mean you just give them up and say, hey, just go ahead. They can be a child of the devil. They can live. No, you don't do that. You love your child. You want them to succeed. Someday they may raise kids that are going to be your grandkids. And you want your grandkids to be good too, right? So you desire that, and you work with them and train up a child in the way he's good. And all those different things. And you spend time. You know, a child left himself, bring his mother shame. You spend time with, you invest in them. Why is that? Because you love them. Now, us as imperfect fathers and us as imperfect mothers and us that are imperfect grandparents, we do our best to try to help them. Now, let's come over here to God's side, who knows everything that's in our heart, that knows everything that's in our mind, and he sees our stubbornness, he sees our stiff-neckedness, he sees that we're not learning, that we're not being disciples, that we're not denying ourselves, that we're not learning of him, and he wants us to learn, so what's he going to do? He's going to continue to work with us. He's going to continue to chasten us. He's going to continue to allow things to come into our hearts and come into our lives until we learn it, just like we do with our children. And we are so imperfect when it comes to this, but God is perfect. And he knows exactly what we need. There are times when we look at certain kids and we shake our head and says, I don't know how to get through to that kid. But God does. We can pray, and I understand that. But you know what I'm saying? There are certain times people out there and says, man, how do we, God knows those things. And the wonderful thing about that is, are we learning? And so it's the same principle. When he says, consider your nine hearts, and he wants you to take time. He's telling this to this group of people that's getting ready to go over into this land. Over here in this land that God has already said you can have. He says, all you got to do is go and possess it. But what's over in this land? There's walls of Jericho. There's giants up in the mountains. There is people who are going to deceive them like the Gibeonites. There are people like Ai that's going to come out like madmen and kill some of their men. There is problem after problem after problem. And he says, I spent the last 40 years trying to humble you, because when you go over these Jordan rivers, you're going to need to be humble and you're going to need to learn of me, or you're not going to become everything that I desire for you to become. You're not going to have have the opportunity to possess the promised land. And I want this. This is great for you. This is wonderful. This is perfect. This is something amazing. I have this wonderful plan for your life, but you're not going to accomplish it because you've never learned from me. And I spent the last 40 years trying to humble you and teach you, even took away the most basic thing of food and gave you manna and didn't even make your feet swell for 40 years and kept you in the same clothes for 40 years. And you're still going to go over this water and you're still going to complain and you're still not going to trust me and you're still going to go into other countries and other lands, see their idols, marry their families. You're going to do exactly what I asked you not to do. And God says, I'm going to still chase you. And so you say, what are you getting at? Am I really a disciple? Am I really learning what God's trying to teach me? Because here, this was a stiff-necked people, and we're going to have to read through it fairly quickly. It says, why do you want to consider that God chastens you? It's because I know I'm not going to get away with it. The reason why I need to understand that God chastens, just like a father chastens me, and we're not going to take the time to go to Hebrews 12, but sometime on your own, read Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. It's talking about why men sometimes chasten their children, that they get respect, and how much more we should respect God, and how sometimes chastening is not fun, it's not convenient, it's not something we enjoy in the present, but in the end, we're going to enjoy the peaceable fruit. And that is it's a wonderful passage, but for sake of time, we're not going there because I want to get to a couple more spots. But what's the purpose? It says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk and to fear him. So the same reason why we chasten our children. It's because if they're doing something wrong, we correct them. Sometimes we have to take things away from them. Sometimes we punish them. Sometimes we physically punish them. Why is that? So they'll stop doing what is wrong. So God says, if you chasten your child, consider the fact that I'm going to chasten you and learn to walk in my ways, because you're not going to get away with it. In our lives, we have kids that get away with things. Sometimes you go back and you say, well, wow, who took that? You didn't. People get away with things. But God's saying, consider how you do it with your children. Now realize, you're not going to get away with me with anything. Now consider all the wonderful things God had provided for them. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land by which he hath given thee. So I want you to see this there and say, God has something special planned for you. Some people think, if I surrender to the Lord, if I do everything God's way, I'm going to live a miserable life. It's not true. When you learn of him and you learn the thing he wants, there is nothing greater than learning from the Lord. Nothing greater than following after him. How can people have joy when they're walking to the death to martyrs? Because they love the Lord. Their affection's there. They've learned something. They learned something that many of us miss, and we turn around and say, well, that person's a follower of Jesus Christ, and they're nasty. They got a bad attitude. They might act like they follow after Christ, but they haven't learned something from him. They got the wrong attitude. If they got this, they might dress up right, they might look right, but if they got the wrong disposition, if they don't have the fruits of the Spirit, if they're not bearing fruit in their lives, if they're not continuing in his word, they might look like a follower, but a disciple is somebody that's learned something. And it's sometimes a hard lesson to learn, but it's something that they learned. And that's what he's seeking here. He wants us, and he sees the benefits that are there. Look at verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. He says, don't forget the Lord. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Here's the thing is, he's saying you need to continue to be humble no matter when things are going well, because even when things are going well, when you lift up your heart, you're not going to be learning anything from him. And when you're not going to be learning anything from him, here comes the chastening again. It happened in the book of Judges. They began to be profitable. God brought in the judgment. They begged and returned to God. What happens again? God delivers them. And look what it says in verse 16. Then thy heart, verse 15, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, when there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And he says he wants to bless you, but you have to learn from him. And he says, remember that. Because when you lift your hearts up and when you forsake him and you think, hey, this is all good because of all the stuff that's done, remember the basic. Remember why you have any good gift is because God is the one that has brought you out of bondage. He's the one that brought you out of Egypt, it says in verse number 14. Out of that house of bondage. If you're a Christian here today on your way to heaven, every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. We had to learn that. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. They're not learning of the Lord when they think they've done it themselves. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve him, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. And as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, ye shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. What is he saying? God's going to chasten you. You're not going to get away with it. Now, as a child, there were some things I did. As a child, there's some things I got away with. There's a lot of things I got caught doing. My mom could tell you stories about things I did. I just wasn't the brightest kid growing up. I used to think I could forge my mom's signature on something and nobody would ever find out. Guess what? They found out. I used to take a note and I used to crumple it up. And we had some paneling in our room, in my bedroom they were going to put up, and have been there for months, or maybe weeks. As a kid, it seemed like it was there for years, but I don't really know. And I used to take the note that came home from school, would pull back the paneling and throw it back there and think, my parents are never going to find it. Guess what? They put the paneling up. I mean, they found it. There were some things I didn't get away from. And did I get punished about the forgery? I did. Did I get punished about the notes I threw behind the wall that I didn't think anybody was ever going to find? I did. Were there times when I got away with things? There were. But I can't get away with anything with God. And here's the thing is, we have to want to learn. You say, okay, Pastor, I want to learn. I get it. I don't want to be Israel. I don't want to be like Israel. I want to learn. I see how Israel struggled and how they just kept on going and God had to humble them and God had to humble them and God had to humble them. I feel like I've been through the 40 years of wilderness. I'm ready to learn about God. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. He cannot be my disciple. Ye cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Unless you have the right affections. Unless you're willing to say no to your flesh and follow after Christ, unless you're willing to give up everything, that's when your heart's going to be ready to learn what God's been trying to teach you. I'm a follower. Okay, you look the part, but are you learning something? Day by day, God wants to teach us something. God is interested. And you see it here. He desires to give him in verses 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 13, an awesome land. And he even went through and says, here's this 40 years. It was miserable for you. And I don't think God likes seeing us go through misery. He wants to bless us. He has this promised land. It was 40 years earlier, God willing to go when Joshua came through and said, hey, Caleb said, hey, let's go possess it. 40 years later, it grieves the heart of God to see a struggle like that. But what is he trying to do? He's trying to teach us. How many times have we corrected our child and they're up in their room maybe when everybody outside is playing? Or they're sitting in timeout when all the other kids are having fun? Or you take away their dessert whenever. It grieves our heart. We don't want that. But why is it that we do that? It's because we want them to learn something. And sometimes God allows things in our hearts, in our lives, because he's trying to teach us something. So consider in your heart, are you really a disciple? Are you learning something from him? Because Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you do these things. So honestly, and the Lord helped me during this time and said, you know what? I'm not really a disciple of Jesus Christ if I'm not learning, if I'm not a pupil, and I'm not going to learn until I do these things. Let me encourage you tonight. Consider this. Take some time. Ask yourself, am I learning from him? Let's pray.